Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the kingdom of God. We're talking about this word world, which meant constitutional order or system of government, an organized system made by the hands of men. Remember, idols were something that were made by men. We think it's always a physical object, and there often is a physical object in the representation of that creation of the hands of men. But idolatry doesn't necessarily mean that you constructed it. It means that you serve something that was constructed by men according to the ways of men, according to their knowledge of the good and evil, rather than serve God in His ways. So if we're going to really get down and understand what God's ways are like, we need to look deeply into the gospel and what was actually being said and the context in which it was being said and to whom it was being said in order to understand what Christ meant. Our goal is to follow Christ. To understand that, we have to look. And you orient yourself on a map. When you're following a map, you turn that map and say, okay, this is east, this is west, this is that mountain over there, this is that valley over there, and this is the direction I want to go, because this is the path. And that's what Christ is saying to you. So you need to orient yourself. So when he says, my kingdom's not of this world, to a particular person like Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate, because of this, washes his hands of the case that was put before him while he was sitting in the judgment seat, now we understand the context of what he was saying, because then he goes off and talks to the apostles, as we've said before in John 15:19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, this organized system, this constitutional order of Herod, because he's taking the kingdom away from the Pharisees and the kingdom that they created, and he's going to appoint it to them. Therefore, the world hateth you. In other words, the organized system of the Pharisees and what was left over from Herod's reign. No one had sat on the throne in Jerusalem since Herod died. His son had been put on the throne, and he had literally retired, but then Herod had him executed, and then he died. And no one else was appointed there. Herod Antipas was over in Galilee, and his brother Philip was in the other part of the kingdom. There were three parts, and the third part sat vacant for years and years until Christ grew up, marched into Jerusalem, and riding on a donkey was hailed as the highest son of David, and then entered into places like the royal treasury and fired the money changers, all jobs of the king. Did it with a string whip, just like you see the Pharaoh using. You always see Tutankhamun with his little crook and his little string whip. Those are elements of the king. That's part of his job, to fire the corrupt members of government. And that's what Christ was doing. But Christ was organizing his government the way that God intended. And eventually we're going to be answering lots of questions and going back and explaining how this is connected in the Old Testament to the New Testament, because Christ is constantly quoting the Old Testament. He's bringing the two in alignment. We know that the Pharisees had misinterpreted the Old Testament because they didn't even recognize Christ. They didn't recognize that Christ and Moses were in agreement. They thought Christ was in disagreement with Moses because their image of Moses, which they worshipped, was a false man-made image created by scholars and, misguided scholars to deceive the people, to bring them back into the elements of the world, back into bondage. In John 15:20, the very next verse, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So that's very important, that we preach Christ. What was he saying, and what did it mean? What did it mean to seek the righteousness of God? What did it mean not to be covetous? What did it mean to live by faith? All the world was trying to establish this kingdom of heaven, this utopia, but by force. And John the Baptist said, no, you must do it by charity. If you have something extra and you can share with somebody who doesn't have enough, do so in clothing and meat and whatever you have. In John 17:13 we see, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Inside, remember, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, not a part of what that system was doing. They were idiotes, and we'll talk more about that later. Even as I am not of the world, Christ was not of this system. He was separate. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. So what is that evil? That evil is actually covetous. It's actually idolatrous. It is actually full of iniquities. And Christ explains this. And when you start putting these pieces of the puzzle together, the kingdom becomes a real thing at hand, something you can seek daily. And in that seeking, we'll be blessed by the grace of God. And Christ can enter into your temple, into your heart, and into your mind, and enlighten every part of your being so that you become a conduit of His Holy Spirit wherever you walk. And that will be the armor of God. But to be the full armor of God, we have to look in every crack and cranny and every corner. We must clean house. In order to do that, we must know what a clean house looks like. Because a lot of people have gone in to clean a house, and they went in and they worked and they were busy, and then the owner came home and said, this is not clean. Or maybe it's with your children. You know, you tell your children to pick up your room, and then you come in and it's still a mess, and you say, this is not picked up. Well, I put that away. Yeah, but what about this and this and this? And what about over here? And what about these dishes here in the corner? Why are they in here? And you say, oh, well, you mean that clean? Yes, we mean that clean. So we have to put away the things of a child and start really cleaning our personal house. We can't clean everybody else's house. You want to save other people? You want other people to see the truth? You must see the truth and the lie that has already gotten into your own heart. And so we're going to expose a lot of things. We're going to be kind of iconoclastic about it. But we don't do it to be mean. We do it so that you can say, look, I did leave this dirt in here. Oh, I forgot about cleaning this over here. I forgot about this. And look at your own connection with the ways of the world, the ways that are not the ways of Christ, so that you can bring light to that. Christ was the light, and you need that light of Christ living in you in every corner of your being to be of value to other people. It's not about memorizing everything we tell you and then going out and straightening the world out. We can't do that. Christ can straighten them out if they let Christ in. And that looks like something particular. So Christ had given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. And even as Christ was not of the world, he said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And we're going to show you some of those evil things that the modern church is not keeping us from. As a matter of fact, even leading us into. And if you have a humble heart, you will see it. You will repent. Christ will enter in and you will begin to change the direction. That's what repentance is. When the people went down to be baptized by John, they went down to repent, change the direction they were going. They were not taking care of the needy of their society by charity. They had altered the path of society. many years before, and we'll get into exactly how that took place. But he says, repent, change that way, back to what it should have been, and go this other way. But it also said they repented and confessed their iniquity. They have to admit that they've been going the wrong way, that they've been doing something contrary to the ways of Christ, contrary to the decrees of Christ, contrary to the word of Christ, and been following the ways of the world. And Christ came that they might be saved and know the truth. And that's why we're here, is that you might know the truth. We can't give it to you. We can talk about it, but you will only receive it when you too repent and confess. You have to see all your sins, your covetous sins, your lying sins. You have to look at these things in you. But that's great. You don't even have to leave home to start to repent. Now, to put it into practice, you may have to walk out in the world. But you are where we begin to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So he went on to say in John 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He's talking about his apostles. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do we hear the word of God? Well, you can read it in the book, but lots of people read the Bible. The word of God must be written on your hearts and upon your mind by this spiritual God who you let into your heart and dwells in you. In order for that to happen, you must be humble, must be willing to see and confess your iniquity. In verse 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Everyone who accepted Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as their king, was cast out of a government run by the Pharisees. The Pharisees, by denouncing Christ, you know, saying, we have no king but Caesar, and claiming that that was what they believed, and making that commitment, they abandoned the kingdom of God and had submitted to the jurisdiction of Rome. Now, when I say submitted to the jurisdiction of Rome, a lot of people think that Rome already had complete jurisdiction in Judea at that time. Not so. And we'll have to talk about that next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at hisholychurch.net.